Father Richard kept muttering, directing Dale's energy as he wanted. He smoothed the shards into place, a nucleus of power forming in the direct center. That nucleus formed into an infinitesimally small spiral, directing the resulting power throughout Dale's body into his life force. Other spirals began to form, draining their essence downward to be further refined by the next spiral in the series. The process continued for an immeasurable time, for them anyway, as they watched the progression as closely as possible. As the danger of dying from lack of essence began to wane, the process picked up speed. The spirals grew, moving further and further away from the origin, soon straining the boundary of his center. Father Richard gleefully exhaled as he released a final burst of essence, affixing an enchantment he had prepared to the terminus of the spiral. This enchantment would keep Dale's essence in this fractal formation until Dale was able to hold the pattern for himself.
"Finished," Father Richard happily stated. "Listen, Dale. The key threads are rough right now, broken beyond my power to repair. As you cultivate more energy, they will smooth and fix themselves. All the tiny breaks will be mended. Time and effort on your part are the only things you need to become whole again. When the threads are fixed, you will be able to feel the real power and cultivation speed this rank affords you."
"Thank God!"
Hans's outburst caught Father Richard completely off guard, making him flinch.
"You trapped me in this room with you and a pile of vomit for 2 days. The least you could have done was show me how to open the stinking door."
Dale stood shakily, his body adjusting to the flow of energy within him. He didn't feel stronger, but that may simply be due to his near starvation as he waited for the process to complete. The others watched him carefully, making sure he didn't abruptly die or explode.
"Well,"
Dale was looking down at his soiled clothes.
"I don't suppose you have baths in here?"
Father Richard nearly slapped his forehead.
"How could I forget bathrooms?"
he rhetorically muttered in horror.
"No matter. Let's go get cleaned up. Then find food. I'm not sure if I'm okay."
Dale was wobbling while standing, trying to remember something. Something that had happened when Father Richard breathed a word, but it slipped away as does a dream, leaving only the word "Sonder" in his mind, with no context to it. He felt like he had forgotten a profound truth. All he could remember was the process he had undergone afterward. Father Richard opened the door and the small group slowly moved to find a spot to bathe along the river, sore from the lack of movement over the last few days. Father Richard happily scrubbed the dried vomit off of himself, shuddering even as he did so. Dale reached into himself, trying to follow the complex path his center had become. He was nervous that he would need to hold this pattern himself soon, though Father Richard assured him it would become as easy as breathing. Clean, but still damp, the three started walking toward the mess hall when a voice reached them.
"Try the pleasure house for lunch today. Forget the watered-down gruel the guild offers. Fill up with a real meal,"
a young teen boy was shouting, trying to find customers for the new business.
"It's already running?"
Dale was surprised and a bit upset by this development.
"Where did she build it?"
They walked over to the Herald, asking for the location of the restaurant. The boy sneered at them as if they were insane.
"There's 2 permanent buildings in 20 miles, and you can't find them?"
the boy pointed out to them rudely.
"It's over there!"
He pointed in a direction, and they gladly left the unpleasant young man alone. They walked toward the area he had pointed, and whistled as the building came into view. Whereas the church had sprawled, this restaurant went straight upward. At least 4 stories tall, the building was made out of gleaming walnut trees, which were growing and interweaving into an interesting design even as they watched. Dale snapped his fingers.
"That's what it is! It looks like a really tall copy of the one in the Capitol.
The others nodded, and Hans piped up.
Yup, she is all about brand recognition. When it is done growing to how she wants it, she'll carve it herself. All of her places look the same, so everyone knows where the best food is.
They joined the queue moving toward the door. In a few minutes, they were in a small waiting room as a host took their names and started to put them on a list. When she made the connection of Dale's name and something she had been told, she blanched and ran from the room.
Dale?
Hans's voice was mockingly horrified.
What did you do to the poor girl to make her run off like that?
The other people in the room rounded on him with dangerous looks, starting to become rather rowdy when the girl and Madame Chandra walked back in.
Dale, there you are. You caused quite a stir, vanishing like that. Come in, come in. We'll be using the private dining area,
she told the host in passing. Chandra personally walked them up several flights of stairs, stopping them at the very top.
Do you know how my businesses work?
Dale shook his head. She smiled knowingly and explained.
The floors are based on price and quality of food. The higher you go, the better it will be, the more expensive. Don't get me wrong, all of our food is sumptuous, but as any true gourmand will assure you, high-quality meals of varying ingredients are still very different. A quality salad will not match the flavor complexity of a quality steak dinner, for example.
Chandra threw open the door, allowing a wave of tantalizing aromas to flood out as the group filed in. There was a kitchen attached to the dining area. She explained that each floor had its own kitchen and wait staff. No sooner had they been seated than a thin soup arrived for them to sip whilst they awaited their meal. The decor in the room was stunning, and the soup vastly superior to anything Dale had eaten in this area previously. Several servers emerged from the kitchen as the last person finished their appetizer. Each of the servers laid out a massive steak, covered in finely diced herbs and a spicy sauce Dale had no name for. They ate with gusto. Each time they felt full, their stomachs would demand more. After the deprivation of the last few days, they ate like wolves, stuffing themselves as full as possible. Chandra watched them, shocked at their poor manners, until she took a good look at Dale.
"Who did that to you?"
she gasped in horror, one hand going to her throat while the other clenched into a fist.
"Dale, how did you reach the D-rankings in 2 days?"
Father Richard waved his hand.
"I did. We made a deal for it."
Chandra was not pleased.
"And you thought this was a good deal? There is, what, a 30% survival rate? Maybe?"
Dale was shocked at this tidbit of information.
"That low?"
He looked incredulously at Father Richard.
"You gambled a 70% chance that I would die for a dagger?"
"I knew you could do it,"
Richard waved at them nonchalantly.
"I put myself at risk too, you know."
Chandra glowered at him.
"If it were up to me, I'd kick you off this mountain right now!"
She looked meaningfully at Dale.
"Oh, come on!"
Richard looked up nervously, eyes darting between them before settling on Dale.
"It turned out fine. He didn't lose his mind, or die, or bleed out, or..."
He trailed off as he saw his words were having the opposite effect he intended.
"Anyway, it turned out for the best. Look at him. Already in the D ranks and only 21 years old."
Dale looked at him. "If this weren't so freaking tasty, I'd be mad at you." He took another considering bite, just to make sure he still wasn't mad.
"What is this, madame? It's so flavorful."
"This is seared rail steak. Freshly butchered this morning, of course,"
she boasted, still glaring at Father Richard. Dale looked at the meat oddly.
"As in the boss mob? Is this safe to eat?" Of course it is.
She turned the conversation to another topic suspiciously quickly.
About my granddaughter coming here to train, I was wondering if you might be willing to put her on your team.
Isn't 5 people the maximum?
Dale got out around a mouthful of rabbit steak.
I've never seen more than 5 go in at once.
What?
Surprise evident in her voice.
You already have a full team? You made D0 today, I thought.
What? What does that have to do with anything? Dale looked at Hans for assurances, but he wouldn't meet his eye.
Hans? Did I get kicked off the team?
Hans shook his head a bit sadly.
Not quite as bad as that. At the start of the D ranks, guild rules state that you need to form a team of your own. You can have one person in the C ranks join you for guidance, but the rest need to also be in the D or high F rankings. The team is still here to train you and show you how to use your essence and whatnot, but guild law stands, even in your case.
Dale considered this for a moment. The dungeon would be far more dangerous from now on, but he thought he had a good handle on the correct way of doing things after half a year of constant fighting. If the other parties that had completed the dungeon were any indication, the rewards for a lower-leveled team were drastically higher than what they had been earning. Taking a deep breath to calm his tumultuous thoughts, Dale made a request.
Hans, if Craig will still train me either way, would you join my team? You are fun to work with, and I think that you would help me pick a good group.
A bit choked up, Hans replied in the affirmative. He was truly happy that Dale thought so well of him. Through his bawdy jokes and teasing, he had really come to think of Dale as a friend, and it was good to see that feeling reciprocated.
Dale cleared his throat. Your granddaughter? He prompted Madame Chandra.
Yes, of course,
Chandra started, almost flinching a bit.
Rose! Get in here!
Her manner was nervous, and she was casting pleading looks at Hans. A tall lady walked in from the attached kitchen, fluidly moving across the walnut wood of the floor. She stood nearly 6 feet tall, had gray eyes, flowing black hair, and a slim, willowy figure. Dale was impressed by her graceful movement, but growing up in the mountains had him looking at her a bit critically. In his mind, she was too tall and thin to do the work required of the Highlanders. His people were average height, with packed muscles and stout frames. He understood better why Chandra was looking for a team for this girl. He didn't look like she could survive an unescorted night in the city, let alone a dungeon in the mountains. His vision flipped to his essence-enhanced vision, and he looked at her center, roughly at the same time as Hans. Father Richard gasped in anger.
You just shouted at me for pulling Dale ahead in the rankings, yet you clearly did the same for her. Look at her center. It's barely even healed from the trauma, just like Dale, and you try to foist her off on them.
Rose looked a bit stricken. Embarrassed by the sudden judgment of her, she opened her mouth to speak. Chandra cut her off unintentionally.
You don't get to yell at me in my place of business, Richard!
The tree they were in suddenly swayed ominously.
Look at her! Tell me why I did it! I know your reasons. You wanted to get away with not having to pay the worth of something, and so handed out power like a treat!
Father Richard was taken aback and looked at the girl again. His eyes widened fractionally.
Oh. Oh, you poor girl. I am so sorry. Please forgive my assumptions.
Dale, of course, had no idea what was transpiring.
Oh, spit it out! What? What's wrong with her?
Rose's face was becoming the color of her namesake.
Excuse me, I am right here,
she seethed, turning toward Dale.
And nothing is wrong with me, you ass.
Her voice was cultured and delicate for the harsh words. Dale was instantly mad at her.
I'm not going into danger with someone who can't even be around people without them feeling sorry for her unknown weakness, he announced harshly.
Dale!
Chandra was aghast.
Where is this coming from?
Dale looked at her coldly, the cold steel of a man who has had to force others to show him respect every time their opinions differed.
This is coming from a Highlander. I worked for what I have. I paid fairly for my increase in rank, if not in time, then in goods. What gives her the right to come in here and start attacking me for asking a simple question? I'm guessing as well that you simply pulled her to the higher ranks for free. The look in his eyes and tone of voice, he pointed at Father Richard, tells me other people's charity and pity falling on her is not an uncommon occurrence. Her reaction, a gesture at Rose, shows that she has a chip on her shoulder that will get us killed if we take her. Either she will not be able to pull her weight, or she will try to overcompensate and do something stupid. I need people that will work to keep me alive as I do the same for them, so find another team or explain why it benefits my team to take her with us.
The others in the room were stunned into silence. They had not seen this side of Dale, and now they were realizing that, just maybe, they should be a bit warier of making decisions for him without his knowing consent. Hans broke into a proud grin when he realized that Dale had made a well-reasoned argument, while Father Richard started to sweat a bit over the future expansion plans he had for his church.
Dale?
Chandra started uncomfortably.
Rose is, as I've mentioned, my granddaughter. My son, before he was murdered, eloped with a high elf and eventually blessed us with Rose. She has been ostracized in society for being a half-breed.
Her eyes darted to Rose to see if she was offending her, but Rose's eyes were flint hard as she tried to stare Dale down.
That by itself is not too much of an issue. The real problem is her essence.
Dale looked at Rose's core again. It had the same reconstructed, shattered look that his did.
What? It looks really pure, so yay you. Beyond that, I see no other issue.
What do you know about essence affinities?
Chandra probed patiently. Dale looked at her.
Not too much, I suppose. I know we all have them, and they get stronger over time as we affect them.
Well,
Chandra smacked Rose's arm when she rolled her eyes.
You see, we all are able to eventually use other elements to pull essence from. As you grow, so does your capability to use other affinities. Your main one will always be your strongest, though. Rose is, well, special.
Rose rolled her eyes at this, obviously hearing it for the thousandth time.
Chandra charged on. She began life with a dual affinity. That means she has two main affinity channels and has to train them both at the same time. Usually, this is not an issue. If she had fire and earth, she could cultivate near lava, glassblowers, or some such. This is not the case, as she has the opposing affinities for celestial and infernal.
Hans's eyes were wide. He breathed in amazement.
A chaos cultivator? Alive? Just so,
Chandra nodded reluctantly.
As such, Rose has never been able to cultivate. She would have died if I did not pull her up into the D-ranking as a child. The scars in her cultivation have been there for nearly 20 years. She cannot use essence for fear that the lack will kill her, as she cannot replace what she uses.
The news he was given disturbed Dale. The others also seemed uncomfortable at Rose's plight.
Well, Dale hemmed. I may have been hasty in my snap judgment, but the fact of the matter is that this does not change things. If she cannot fight, it would be too dangerous for all involved to take her with us.
He clandestinely ate another bite of the rabbit steak that was beginning to cool.
I am the best archer you will ever meet,
Rose broke into the conversation hotly.
And I do it all without using essence. Once I am able to cultivate, I can only improve.
Can you work as a team? Can you follow orders? Will you duck when I say duck? Have you ever been in combat or just shot at stationary targets?
Dale was brutal in his questioning.
These are the same questions I needed to face when I first became a cultivator. The others knew the answer and took the time to train me for months. You know the first job I had in the team? I quote, "Don't die. That is your only job until you become useful. My team will not be experienced and strong like theirs was. I can't protect you like they could me. So I ask you again, why should I risk my team's life and my own for you?"
Rose's face was burning, and Dale knew his questions had hit their target. Like arrows.
Ha. Huh.
Because she was an archer? Anyway.
I can be a good teammate,
Rose quietly promised.
I'm a fast learner and know the stakes. Just give me a chance to prove myself. No one else will even look at me without that stupid look on their face.
She pointed at an affronted Father Richard.
Okay, then. We'll see.
Dale made his decision with finality.
I'm going back into the dungeon tomorrow morning. Meet me at the mess hall at dawn, and we will make a temporary place on the team for you. If you can't handle the dungeon, I will take no blame for the outcome.
He looked at Madame Chandra when he mentioned this. She nodded gravely. Rose's face cleared, and she soberly nodded, not trusting herself to speak. She was teetering between jubilation and fury with this man who talked to her like a child. She left the room without another word.
"Thank you, Dale?"
Chandra halfway questioned, thinking that maybe things had gone well.
Dale shook his head. "That was how Craig taught me. That and letting Josh beat me on the sparring grounds for hours at a time. This life is not for the faint of heart, which I am sure you know. I'm nervous about this whole situation. Not only about going in with an untested team, but her attitude really worries me. I know that I could have handled that better, but I needed to know if she would react professionally. Make no mistake, I intend for my team to be exceedingly professional. I was worried about her reaction because I feel like people have either only treated her one of two ways, giving her what she wanted and not spoken harshly to her out of pity, or given her nothing and despised her for shortcomings that are not her fault. If she could not control herself here when it was only harsh words, how could I trust that she would care what I had to say mid-battle? Her lack of experience with other people and teamwork could seriously hurt us.
Still, thank you, Dale. Is there anything I can do to repay you?
Chandra motioned to the food still on the table. Dale was quiet for a moment.
Yes. I hate to admit it, but I am ignorant of the world. I may have made a very bad business deal recently because of it.
He thought of the dark elves.
I can read the trade language, I can do my figures well enough to count small amounts of money, but have no other administration skills. I just found out that my purchase of armor had interest on it, and have no idea how to calculate that or even look for it on future deals. If Frank had wanted to ruin me, all he would have to do was give me a document ceding my rights to the land and told me that it was a guild application form.
Dale looked at Chandra.
I've been flying by the seat of my pants, going with the flow and listening to others. My council makes major decisions without me, and I have no idea if those are ideas that I would agree with. I need to find a way to take a stand and really know what I am doing. Can you find me some teachers? If I am going to live as long as they say, run my own team, and build this camp into a city, I need to do better in nearly every aspect of management.
Chandra was impressed by his forethought.
I can think of a few people. I'll make some arrangements, but it won't be a cheap or fast process. We could speed your understanding of words and numbers with the use of memory stones, but the cost is even more astronomical.
Dale perked up.
I hadn't thought of that. How much does it cost?
Chandra laughed at his shift back into the young man she thought she had known.
The spoken and written languages are always sold apart from each other. 50 gold each. The finest counting system is provided by the Dwarven Underkingdom and is roughly 100 gold.
Dale's mind boggled at that cost. Who could afford that kind of expense? Then he remembered that he could, given enough time. He supposed that it was normally reserved for nobles or other wealthy people. Why is that number system so expensive by itself? Chandra nodded at his question. It was a good one.
The number system is very complex. It consists of more than simple concepts like the others, adding, subtracting, and dividing. What sets this system apart is their advancement into higher mathematics, which give answers to questions such as, how many loads of gravel do I need for a road? What angle does this building need to be built at for the road to have the correct size? What is the compound interest rate of loans from multiple banks? How much weight can a support of this size hold if it is placed horizontally? Believe me when I say it is worth the cost.
Dale nodded slowly. If he wanted to be trusted to make large decisions, he needed to make the sacrifices now to learn what he needed. How about other things? I'll need to know history, how to argue, and trading skills.
I'll see what I can do. Might I make a suggestion?
Chandra raised a hand to slow him down. Dale nodded, surprised by her subdued question.
Work to open the pericardium meridian. It is known as the guardian of the heart and will allow you to function normally with half the amount of sleep you normally will get. If you want to learn quickly, you will need to devote a substantial amount of time to your studies. Opening that meridian will allow you to do so without interrupting your current work schedule.
Thank you, Dale warmly smiled. How about a teacher to explain the meridians as well? With a laugh, they turned back to their meal and discussion. 26.
Well, what do you think we should do next? I questioned Danny, thinking I had all my preparations complete. She thought for a moment, looking around the room.
I don't know, Cal. It looks like it is ready. Should you just activate it?
The once smooth floor of the boss room was now intricately patterned, the rune script of hundreds of matching runes deeply scoring the floor.
I had planned this out well, the pattern of each rune interlocking seamlessly to the next. I had adjusted my walls to allow enough space for the large pattern to end perfectly at the entryway of the room, to maximize the amount of essence pulled in. I had not yet explained to Danny the steps I really wanted to take.
Here's the thing. I told you I wanted the rune to be big, right? I started nervously. She answered brightly.
Well, yeah. Look at them. That is the most beautiful, largest rune script I have ever seen. You should be proud. I know I am.
I blushed. Aw, thanks, hon. But I'm not done.
What do you mean?
Her voice took on a tone of exasperation. I want it to be big, Danny, she snorted.
That's what every male says.
Huh?
Nothing. Explain.
I want to adjust my floors so that the floors themselves are massive runes. If she had a jaw, it would have dropped.
Cal, I don't know if you will be able to activate this rune. How would you possibly activate one so large?
I quickly laid my plan out to slow her tirade.
I know. It might be the work of years to save that amount of power, but I figure I will make small adjustments to my dungeon every night until I finally get the configuration I want. Until then, activating it won't matter anyway, right?
I guess,
she doubtfully allowed.
Seriously, though, you should try activating just this one soon. We don't want you too weak to join in fights when people get here if it fails.
I braced myself and followed her advice. I reached out and touched the activation sequence, beginning to funnel essence into it. Faster than a chubby kid eating cake, the energy began to flow out of me. Faster and faster it poured, and soon the loss began straining my reserves. This is the way of runes. If you activate one, it will try to take every drop of needed essence out of the person activating it.
If you did not have the necessary essence, it would drain you to death. Quickly, I reached out for the cores I had filled to the brim with essence, draining them dry as I channeled the potent power through myself. Too quickly, they ran out, shattering as I took even the essence binding them together. One after another, the cores around me fell to pieces, making me hope I would not soon be among them. As the last one broke and my internal light began to dim, the rune flared to life. With a rush like wind in a thunderstorm, loose essence in the dungeon began flowing into the boss chamber. The huge rune that began at the door of the room began to glow. Slowly at first, but then with increasing light and speed. As the shining power became too bright for the human eye to see, like a blacksmith's welding tool, the rune found an outlet for its stored power. The next rune in the link activated under the power of the first and pulled essence of the heavens and earth to itself. The first rune had now absorbed all of the loose essence in the room and was still pulling from the hallway. I felt parched, as though I had a throat that had not had a sip of water in decades. I held the essence in myself as closely as I could, shepherding it in its pattern as even it reacted to the potent rune script. One after another, the linked runes activated. The light of their combined patterns formed fully around the room, a spiral around me, when the light suddenly stopped, an imperfect rune in the sequence suddenly exploding into an unintentional activation. I watched in horror to see what would happen when it became fully active. The essence was still pouring into the rune from those before it, the failing rune taking in a terrifying amount of power as it began to activate.
Danny?
I squeaked, fear pouring off of me in waves. I quickly formed a large amount of acid on the rune in an attempt to destroy it. The acid began its work, but it was too late. The room shuddered, and a black disk grew upward from the broken rune. A powerful leg stepped through a newborn hole in reality almost tentatively. The black, fur-covered paw extended claws which dug deep into the floor. The unknown creature began to pull itself into the room. The disk didn't get larger, but the form was able to slink through the opening. The paw alone was nearly 20 inches wide. The claws lengthened that by 7 inches when fully extended. The leg revealed that it was connected to a large, cat-like form. The powerful body was half again as large as a tiger and pitch black. A tail twitched back and forth in anticipation, the creature obviously excited by this new hunting ground. Along its back, 4 tentacles extended from each of its leg joints. Each of them had its own mouth and was tipped with a sharp claw-like stinger which dripped venom. Its head was very similar to a mountain lion, but had no mouth. Instead, it had an extra eye in the center of its forehead, the only bright spot on its body. It moved around the room, sniffing at the new scents and enjoying the scenery. A hiss of acid made it flinch, whipping its tentacles with their gaping maws into an attack position. The rune was finally destroyed, and the black disk vanished silently. The essence slowed its travel through my dungeon as the other runes slowed their collection with nowhere to deposit what was already gathered. Danny was huddling in my puddle near me, both of us terrified as to what we had unleashed into the heart of my being. It padded toward us, sniffing the air, like there was a great delicacy nearby. It looked right at the area under the silverwood tree where we were quietly hiding. From the tentacles, tongues flicked out, licking their sorry excuse for lips. It crouched, silently stalking us, getting closer an inch at a time. Thundering noise made it halt as Rail exploded onto the scene. Rail ran directly at the creature while shadows filled the room, collecting heavily within a 10-foot perimeter of the cat. Lucky for Rail, I knew where everything in my dungeon was at any given time. He charged unerringly at the cat, who lightly leapt over Rail, casually whipping him with one of its tentacles as it spiraled in the air. Rail was slammed to the wall with enough force to shatter several feet of it from that light strike, but doggedly returned to his feet. He charged again, this time following my attack pattern, jumping as the cat jumped. It seemed surprised as they both flew at the wall, but recovered fast enough to wriggle itself around Rail's body. It pushed off his back to double the force of Rail's jump, slamming him into the wall hard enough to fully shatter his armor. The cat attacked, two limbs pinning Rail to the wall as he whimpered for a moment. Obviously savoring Rail's helplessness, the pointed stingers on the great cat's tentacles pierced my boss's body repeatedly, perforating him 5 times each in 2 seconds. Effectively pincushioned, Rail died, still held against the wall as the cat disemboweled him. The cat ate a bit of meat, then dropped the body in disinterest, turning back toward Danny and me. It hissed at us, ignoring the chance for a massive meal. I realized this was a creature that killed for sport. Obviously hating all other creatures, it didn't even bother to eat its kills beyond what it wanted at any given point. It stalked back to our position and started to slither a tentacle down to where we cowered. For some reason, it had completely ignored the silverwood tree. A poor judgment call. As its tentacle brushed a root, a line of fire raced out from the long dormant enchantment the elf had placed on the tree many months ago. The fire sliced the tentacle clean off, making the cat yowl and sprint away, vanishing into the tunnels of my dungeon.
"C-c-c-cow?"
Danny stammered, fear invoking a physical reaction.
"Is it still moving? Away, I mean?"
I didn't answer her right away. I was far too focused on a dark mass. The sliced-off tentacle was still writhing toward us, intent on finishing us before it perished. Luckily for us both, before it could perform its dark deed, I felt a small burst of essence as it expired. Information on the animal flooded my mind with its death. "It's okay, Danny," I soothed her as best I was able. "It's gone for now." I was tracking the cat as it moved along my dungeon, slaying bashers and leaving their corpses to rot, though I quickly reabsorbed them. Actually, I was glad to regain some essence. I was far closer to empty than I was comfortable with.
"What was that? What just happened?"
she cried out hysterically. I thought of everything I now knew about the animal. "That was a beast. It is called a distortion cat. I didn't get the information I need to replicate it because it seems the tentacles are a different creature. They are a parasite that forms a symbiotic relationship with the distortion cat. Becoming bonded with the tentacle parasites causes it agony every second until they are fully dependent on each other, making the cat's mind descend into hatred for others." I kept up my flood of information to give her something to focus on. "It is an amazing hunter. When it feels threatened, it thickens the darkness in the area to hide. If it is too bright, it distorts the light, bending it around itself, effectively becoming invisible while an illusion forms a few feet away. Then it attacks with its tentacles. The illusion and real thing hit the same spot to lend credence to the illusion being the real beast."
"Stop telling me how cool it is!"
she demanded.
"Where is it now? Is it going to come back in here?"
"It's already on the first floor. It's, killing? Killing everything it finds? Well, I mean, it's leaving the plants alone." "Oops. Spoke too soon. It ate the mint plants." I directed every basher to hide as best as it could. I watched the cat move closer to the entrance, where even at this hour, a few intrepid souls were mining. It was a few hours till dawn right now. Watching the inattentive miners, I actually felt a little bad for increasing the quality of ore they could collect after dark. It had seemed like a good way to keep people in here. Oh well. The miners shouted in anger and confusion as the room became pitch black, running for where they thought the entrance was. Not one of them made it out. the cat was crouched next to the exit, and as each approached, the tentacles would flash out, slashing throats, piercing eyes, even wrapping around a neck and killing one man by suffocation. These men were all in the F rankings. They had no chance to defend themselves from this killer. After its gory fun, the cat poked its head out of the doorway through the bubble in place, which increased the essence density, its face meeting fresh air. If I didn't know better, I'd swear it chuckled as it scented all of the prey above. It ran up the steps and was lost to my senses. It's gone, Danny. It went outside. I was digesting the essence that had made its way to me from the slain miners. Turns out this wasn't really a bad deal for me after all. A little fear, a lot of essence. Danny shook, unspeaking, simply trying to take comfort in my presence. I turned my attention to the runes that had failed in the room. The large ones were still working correctly, but the one that had created a minor portal was burned off the ground and may have damaged the others. I traced the remaining runes, looking for flaws, but found none. This worried me. I had not found any flaws the first time things went bad after all. I smoothed the stone in the damaged area and began again, slowly cutting into the stone and creating the pattern I needed for the inscription. Though somewhat recovered, thanks to the miners' deaths, I still had far less essence than I felt I needed. I was sitting around 2% capacity, so working at all was exhausting. I went slowly, double-checking every bit of the pattern, looking for any flaw. I found none, so I finished with the activation inscription, watching as the pent-up essence from the large runes filled this new one. I held my breath as the slightly smaller rune activated, and sighed with relief as it worked as I had expected it to. Each rune, in turn, activated, the spiraling activations coming closer and closer to me with each revolution. The last rune activated, I braced myself to fill with the essence which was howling through my tunnels to power this massive series of rune script. Nothing happened.
What the?
It had worked for Danny. Why wasn't I gaining any essence? I checked my work furiously, looking for anything that may explain why this was not working correctly. The runes were glowing brightly. The essence was there for the taking. Wait. The runes were glowing. They were containing the essence. Right. Danny had been able to cultivate only while in the output area of the rune. It didn't just release the essence into the air, it held it in place. I could be moved over to the rune, but that would put me in an awkward position. Not to mention I was super low on essence. I cast about for a solution to my problem, but only frustrated myself. Danny picked up on my agitation and quizzed me.
What is the matter? Is the cat coming back?
No, it isn't coming back, sweet. I'm upset because I can't reach the essence from those runes.
The discouragement in my voice pulled her out of her fear, and she bent her mind to helping me. What a good being to be bonded to for life. We went through several options, but nothing seemed to fit my needs. Then Danny verbalized something that made just perfect sense.
Well, why not use the inverse rune? If these normal inscriptions collect essence, the inverted rune should release it, right?
Danny shyly contributed.
If I had lips, I would kiss you, you beautiful shining orb, I fervently exclaimed.
Danny blushed.
Oh, stop, you big ol' flirt.
I bent my will to the task, creating one last rune in the set. It looked wrong, like a scar on the floor next to the perfectly formed non-inverse runes surrounding it. Luckily, it was really small. We're talking about an inch in diameter. The first rune in the doorway had a radius of nearly 6 feet. The thick, condensed, pearlescent essence that had been contained by the final rune cascaded into the activation sequence of the inverted rune. Essence dripped out. Literally dripped. The essence had been collected in such a large quantity and forced into such a heavily purified and condensed state that it was in liquid form. Each drop was a shining gem and moved with a viscous swaying as it was pushed forward by the droplets forming behind it.
Look at that, Danny.
My mental voice was a whisper as I watched the area slowly fill with flowing essence. After a few seconds in the open air, the liquid seemed to steam and slowly moved back into a thick, mist-like state before dissipating into the air like humidity. Even with the rune script then grabbing it and returning it to the center, the room was soon again dense with essence. The air was easily 2 to 3 times as thick as it had been since the essence couldn't escape and just continued to become more potent.
Kel, can you quickly make a drain? Let it sink down into a reservoir under us and the tree, so as it evaporates, it comes up through the hole where we are.
Danny directed me quickly. Her words pulled me from my stupor. My utter excitement had been holding me still. I formed the drain as she had requested, lining it with the tungsten I had found in my first attempt at making a tunnel. I wanted nothing breaking this reservoir. No, sir. The condensed essence slipped into the opening, flowing in a manner more befitting molasses, yet draining all the same. A tiny droplet was made every few seconds, but each one was purified essence, and therefore exceedingly potent. The reservoir I made filled very slowly. In an hour, it had only collected about 1/8 of an inch of essence. Once in the open space of the reservoir, it again evaporated into the air of the small area. Soon, the air pressure made it try to go back up the drain. I opened a minuscule hole under me, allowing the essence to flow up into where I made my existence.
"Bubbles!"
I shouted joyfully. The pressurized essence had agitated my puddle, resulting in, you guessed it, bubbles. Not only that, but I greedily cultivated the flowing essence, quickly regaining my lost strength. I gained roughly 0.5% of my capacity an hour, a huge amount. To put it in perspective, the 7 F-ranked miners that had died had only given me roughly the same amount, 0.5% each, that is. This means that if the rate continued, I would gain the equivalent essence of a life per hour. The amount I was able to take in was not nearly the amount the reservoir was allowing into the room at large as the released essence gently blew past me, but I wasn't worried. I'd get it all eventually. I was basking in the healing feeling of happiness when I felt a hole appear in my glee. Oh no. Danny, I urged her to stop eating and pay attention.
What? This is nice,
came her languid response. The cat! It is back in the dungeon! Instantly losing her cheerful attitude, the hunted feeling appeared in Danny's manner again. It's injured, though. It is bleeding heavily and limping. Still able to... I winced as it wiped out the boss squad on the first floor in moments. Still able to fight, it seems, I finished. I watched as it went to the healing potion contained in the cistern and sniffed it. It shook its head and narrowed its eyes, then continued back down toward us. Dang. It knew I had poisoned that potion. Oh well, that would have been helpful. The cat quickly wound its way through the second floor, wearily returning to my room. As it crossed the threshold, it stopped, nostrils flaring as its eyes, all three of them, widened. It cautiously stepped further into the room, then rushed to where the most concentrated essence was condensing. It stared at the liquid essence like someone that had just been handed a baby. A bit uncomfortable and unsure of what to do. Would moving it break it? One of its three remaining tentacles gently moved down to hover over the few drops that hadn't gone into the drain and flicked a tongue out, sucking in the concentrated essence. The tentacle spasmed, flailing back and forth in pseudo-pain, like a human taking a bite from a lemon. The drop of essence sped down its throat, moving into the stomach of the cat's main body. The cat dropped to the floor, gasping through its nose as it struggled to absorb the potent energy. Successful after a few minutes, it got to its feet and reached for another drop. This continued. Lick, swallow, spasm, repeat, for nearly half an hour. Finally seeming to have enough, it lay down, contented. As if finally noticing my attention, its eyes flicked to where we were.
Hiss!
Well, I guess it still wasn't friendly. It fell asleep facing the door, tentacles moving and keeping watch of their own volition.
I don't think it is going to go away,
I mentioned to Danny. Exasperated, she looked at me.
You think? You just had to feed a wild animal.
27. Dale awoke to a ruckus in the camp. Having slept behind the stone walls of the chapel on a soft bed, he could hardly make himself become concerned. He yawned, walking over to where Hans was sleeping.
You know what? What's going on out there?
Festival?
Dale tried to rub the grit from his eyes.
Nah, Hans grunted uncaringly. Might as well get up now, though. We still need to find some more party members.
They started getting ready for the day, putting on armor and sharpening weapons. That reminded Dale to ask about the enchantments on this armor and weapon. Hans told him it was a standard protection and feather enchantment on his armor, meaning that it weighed next to nothing when it was equipped. For the Morning Star, there was a stability enchantment on it that would push the ball and spike away from the shaft, increasing the range on the weapon by about a foot and making it very hard to block the attack. Dale activated the enchantment on his weapon for the first time.
So it just floats there?
He doubted the effectiveness in a nonplussed tone.
Hans waved his hand over the area between the ball and the hilt, showing that there was no resistance.
Try and stop that with a sword and see what happens. The sword hits nothing. You hit their head. You can adjust the distance, too, and make it a surprise attack. Suddenly, you have range. In battle, surprise kills, yeah?
Dale nodded. It actually seemed a much more interesting weapon now. They moved out of the chapel to see a roaring mob of people. Guildmaster Frank was shouting them down, trying to restore order. A few people were crying as healers moved among them. Hans and Dale looked at each other, nervous only for a few seconds before they moved in to see what was happening.
Listen, Frank was bellowing. We have no information right now. We believe it was a breakout, monsters escaping the dungeon. We don't have any knowledge beyond the fact that a few F-ranked people were slain and several people were injured before a mage blasted an area it was believed to be in. No, we don't know what it was. It was too dark. Please, we have not seen anything in the dungeon that a proper group cannot handle. Go about your business. We will give you any information we can find.
Hans tapped Dale on the arm.
We better hurry and find a group if we want to get in there. They might close it off while they look into this.
Dale was pulled over to the mess tent, where they found Rose waiting for them. She was in leather armor that was obviously heavily enchanted from the glow coming off of her. Inscribed armor and weapons rarely glowed, and only then if they were breaking down, allowing essence to escape. Enchantments on armor were made of layered essence and would therefore shine as it was consumed in order to power the rune. In short, glowing enchantment? Necessary. Glowing inscribed rune? Really bad.
You made it through the night. Good,
Rose deadpanned.
Where are the others?
Hans leered at her.
Well, my Rose, we have been unable to find anyone else worthy to travel in your company. Sadly, we must now scavenge the bottom of the barrel in our search.
I am not your Rose. What positions do we have filled? What are your specialties?
Rose looked back and forth between them. Hans gave an elaborate bow.
Oh, how my heart aches to hear you say such words. I, ma'am, am a humble knife-wielder. I specialize in ending threats before they become aware of me or my comrade's presence.
an assassin. Just great.
Rose grunted in a very unladylike noise.
Swell company you keep, Dale. What do you do?
Hans looked a bit affronted. Dale was unsure. I fight with a mason buckler? Rose nodded.
A fighter. Good. Hopefully you'll specialize soon. What are your talents in the Earth Domain?
Hans intercepted the question smoothly.
He has not found the path he will walk yet. He has been focused too hard on getting to this level, I'm afraid.
Fine. So we have an assassin, a fighter, and a ranger.
She drew her bow to explain her term.
That's a good mix to start, but we need to fill our party out with some other people.
Hans nodded.
Good thinking. Smart and beautiful.
He graced her with a wink as she rolled her eyes.
I'm not into old men,
Rose denied him coolly. Hans pantomimed, clutching his heart, as a massive form walked up to the conversing group.
Did I hear thou art looking for someone to enter into the dungeon with thou and thine?
A gravelly voice boomed, the words giving off a feeling of near-archaic pronunciation. Hans looked over, eyes flaring at the interruption.
Mm-hmm, we are. I'm sorry, though, lad. F-ranked aren't allowed to the second level anymore.
Hans dismissed offhandedly, returning to his determined flirtation. The voice corrected him.
Not if they are members of the guild. I am not. Also, I have already proven my worth in combat, finishing the second floor with my previous compatriots.
The dawn broke at that moment, allowing light to begin flooding over the horizon. The young man came into view, an odd type of armor on him. Metal plates were interspersed with furs, leaving a large amount of flesh showing. That flesh was rippling with dense muscle, drawing their eyes up to an arm casually holding an oversized warhammer single-handedly. The man's eyes were green, his long hair a deep red.
Barbarian,
Rose breathed, eyes shining. Was her breath coming a little faster? Hans smiled genially.
Now the problem is that you can't join a guild group, can you?
The man's eyes darkened, his face stony as he set his jaw, nodded, and turned silently away. He paused as Dale called after him.
Hold! Dale commanded. What is your name?
The warhammer came to rest on the ground.
My name? I bear the name of my father, and my father's father, for generations uncountable. We are the mighty hunters of the frozen north, giants among the men of humanity. I am what you call a barbarian.
He lifted his chin disdainfully.
I am the warrior known as Tom.
Tom? Hans sputtered. Your name is Tom? All that build-up and your name is Tom?
Tom squinted at him meaningfully.
Is this an issue?
No, not at all, Tom,
Hans cheerfully denied. Dale snapped his fingers.
You were the one who killed a teammate,
he remembered. Tom's face fell. He nodded.
To my great shame, it is true. Now, no others will allow me to join them in battle, as they fear I would turn on them as would a rabid dog.
He looked up, setting his features.
I swear to you, it was an accident, a moment of battle rage instilled in me over the loss of my comrades. I took out the fury of their deaths on the giant creature, Rael, with an untested weapon. His armor shattered, the shards impacting and killing my dear friend.
Dale nodded. That is what I had heard. Hans is correct, though. You cannot join us without joining the guild. Would you be opposed to that? Tom looked at him, as confused as if Dale had sprouted a breast on his forehead.
If they would have me, I know of none who would willingly turn down that chance.
Dale glanced at Hans. It is customary that a man is tested before joining, yes?
Can we call this dungeon run a test and deal with the paperwork tonight? His essence is very pure.
Hans groaned.